The law firm of Laffey, Boosie, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan, one of Philadelphia's premier injury law firms who represent injured union workers and their families, is proud to salute the career, the legacy, and the induction of legendary Plumbers Local 690 business manager Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. Whereas the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those leaders of labor, past and present, who have made an indelible mark on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. Congratulations to Ed Keenan on an honor well-deserved from your friends at Laffey, Boosie, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
This is the Legends of Labor Special with J. Doc and Krause.
Back in 64, it was a little bit of a different world.
Yeah.
And to get in an apprenticeship, you almost had to be a son.
Okay.
Kind of like a cop and a fireman back then in the 60s.
Right.
And I got a break through another guy. My old man was a sheet metal worker. And I got a break to get in the apprenticeship with the plumbers. And I got in, I immediately went to work right out of school, worked a summer, worked a year, and then I got drafted.
In the words of Ed Keenan, his union journey began back in 1964. And today, we are thrilled and honored to join Ed and the 150-plus family members, friends, political leaders, and union colleagues as we welcome you to this Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of Plumbers Local 690 labor leader, Ed Keenan. Welcome to this special one-hour broadcast exclusively presented by Plumbers Local 690 and the law firm of Laffey, Busey, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan.
The way it is today is so much more open and communications that's the plus side of from when I started to where it's at now.
Well, it's interesting, though, because that path, Congressman, that era of labor leader, okay, so when Ed came in, I think about, and I know you worked hand-in-hand with them all, when you think about the Sam Statons, you think about the Ed Keenans, you think about the Robert Heenans, you think about, you know, the crew across the board.
Don't forget your dad.
And I'll appreciate that, my dad, and what they did. There's a saying, and I think you embody this, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, right? And it's because of your generation, okay, and Pat Iding, of course, that, you know, we have a seat at the table now. So let's not skip over that part, okay? Like, in other words, there's a reason now why things have changed. And I wanted to kind of address that. And what got you into leadership, Ed?
What's that?
What got you into the leadership part of...
I didn't really have any ambition in that. I loved plumbing. I liked working with the tools. I liked doing side work. I always made a decent living. I lost a little time in the 70s. But to get into the leadership or the way it is, it was Tom McNulty saw something in me, made me an agent, then he made me business manager. And I didn't run for it. I didn't try to take it. Like Bobby said, that's not my style. I'm not a pusher. I don't like a lot of limelight. I think you can get more done. And I learned from him, too, in the political world. You get more done in the background being quiet and keeping your mouth shut than walking around bragging and acting like a tough guy. And organized labor has come a long way. And some guys that become elected officials are because of labor. The scary part is when they get in there, are they going to do the job or embarrass labor? Because politics is a different world. I don't know how you do both. Bobby wanted me to run for city council and different stuff, and I said, I can only do one thing. the plumbers. That's my baby.
It's interesting because my father had the same scenario. Not running for public office, but also people wanted him to go to the international. And he this is who he was. Mm-hmm. Being a part of those things, Congressman, you know, labor, like we talked about, is been a part of your life, you know, throughout the entire. Talk about the changes, okay, that from those days in 64 and the early days of the labor leadership that Ed Keenan, when he started, became a business agent to where we are now.
Well, Eddie was a trailblazer, you know, and his word was his bond. You didn't have to sign anything. You didn't have to have any witnesses. All he had to do was shake his hand. And when you shook his hand, you know, his word was his bond. And he instilled that on other labor leaders. Because other labor leaders at the time, there were a lot of good men and women, don't get me wrong. But there's only one Eddie Keenan. You know, there's only one guy that could stand up. And no disrespect to your dad. Your dad was one of the people, too.
No,
there's not many of them, even though, you know.
My dad would say the same thing.
There's a lot of leaders out there, but there's not that many of Eddie Keenan's and Joe Doc's, and there's a lot of other people out there that you mentioned. Pat Arting. Pat Arting was grew up in the business and didn't just jump into it. And Eddie said Eddie grew up in the business, and he didn't forget where he came from because he liked where he came from, and he never left where he came from. And the most important part about him was his word was his bond. When he would be across the table negotiating, or when I was meeting with him and other elected officials, and he needed some things done, it was always something was the right thing to do. He wasn't overreaching. He wasn't trying to be a bully, which he could very well be if he wanted to, you know. And he didn't. He was always a gentleman, and he was one of the most, without question, the most respectful labor leaders that we ever had. Today, we may be missing some of that. No disrespect to the labor leaders that are out there. There's still a lot of good ones, but none of them cut their teeth, and none of them did what an Eddie Keenan did and a Joe Doc did and a lot of other ones. I mean, you know, again, you shake your hand, and it's done. No signing contracts, no witnesses. That was Eddie Keenan.
And let's talk about the qualities of
and that. That was your father also. Your father was one guy, I'll say, that you shook his hand, and a loyalty, respect, both ways, not over-ambitious. The only mistake your dad ever made was he didn't control the gang.
Right.
That was the only mistake. Well, and for what happened to him was stupid, ridiculous. That I regret, because if I was a true labor leader, somehow we would have got him out.
Yeah.
Not just got people to make sure nothing happened to him. And that is a big deal, because a guy does the right thing and he gets hurt. Well, that's what we're here for.
Right. Well,
to be there. And we were there the best we could be, but that's a regret of mine. That's one of my regrets.
But you know, my dad, you know, when I can say this with character goes, and he had so much respect for you, Congressman, and you, Ed. He knew at the time. I mean, he should have probably got out, you know, 3-4 years before that, and the situation developed, and that's just what happened. But you know what's funny about that? When he passed away, how do you make sense of that, right? How do I bring some resolve to it? A couple ways. He loved his union, okay? And he knew the guys that were doing stupid stuff weren't doing it to hurt him. They just were stupid. And at the end of the day, he wouldn't want me going to a union meeting and losing my stuff. But he respected you so much. And my dad was very careful with his friends. And I, you know, we supported you incredibly, Congressman. Let's talk about leadership, okay, and developing. This is right on this point. And you did it. You literally, Ed, you groomed your replacement, developing the next generation of labor leadership. Let's talk about how important that is. Because look at this local. Everybody came back for you. And the legacy of the leadership here with George Pegram, your son, is second to none. Talk about the importance of that, developing the next generation.
Well, it's funny with George, because the first thing I did, I sponsored him.
Can I go to bed?
I have to go to the bathroom. Don't be laughing, Sue. With George, the first thing, once he got in the apprenticeship, I sponsored him and he got in the apprenticeship. And me and him never talked about Daddy and son.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh,
Pat on the ass.
Right, same with me.
And I put the word out, no favors.
Right.
Takes his bumps and bruises like the rest of us.
Sure.
And I just believe in that. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but that's how I was with George and many others.
Sure.
A lot of apprentices. So when you deal with them that way and you level with them and you know, you don't, if they're wise guys, you get rid of them.
Right.
And that sets a stage for future leaders. They see this. They see it. They respect it. And it's like the congressman having some people he might have had to get rid of for a number of reasons. And that tells other people that, you know, that way don't work.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the congressman. Labor's loyal, but high standards loyal. And you have been, you know, in that corner. And yet so many labor leaders, you know, look up to you and the impact that you've made on working people on a daily basis. Talk about those relationships and how important loyalty is, but also integrity when it comes to those relationships in developing the next generation of labor leaders, number one, and political leaders who are going to see the vision of labor.
Well, you mentioned the word loyalty. There's three things you need. You need to have loyalty, you need to have loyalty, and then you need to have loyalty.
Right.
And that's it, you know. And as far as like the future labor leaders, it's a little tougher out there because there's a lot of non-union, a lot of people out there, a lot of our elected officials not necessarily buy into the labor movement, you know. And it isn't like it used to be. There's a lot of restrictions on them, what they can or cannot do anymore. And there's a lot of people out there, a lot of non-union contractors. But let me tell you what I tell people about labor. Again, you know, with the plumbers and I'm a carpenter from the carpenters and all the other organizations. When you do a job with organized labor and the job is done, a month, 2 months, a week, a year, something goes wrong, they come back and fix it. Because it's in their honor that they their integrity that they did this job, they want to come and fix it. So there's too many non-union contractors out there. When they're done the job, they're gone. You can't even find them.
It's interesting. You talk about...
And the quality of work is disgraceful.
The difference between being in the union and not is the difference in a job and a career. Okay, talk about our apprentice programs, which know at the plumbers union. I mean, Ed, it's been such a big part of your legacy. Okay, and Congressman, you've seen it every day, the importance of our apprentice programs and the education. I mean, damn, you get a college degree when you graduate one of our apprentice programs, and you're not paying a dime for it. Talk about that vision, in developing the future of labor.
Yes, we. We created a scholarship fund in Tom's memory, Tom McNulty, and it's grown since then that we started out giving one kid a year $1,000.
Awesome.
And now it's just about anybody that applies that's a plumber's son or daughter gets a scholarship out of here for like $1,000, $2,000. I don't even know what the number is.
Awesome.
But the scholarship and the non-union are not bad people. The union is not bad people. There's bad people in the union, there's bad people in the non-union. But the union establishes a fair wage for most of them. And the ones Bobby's talking about are the ones that'll backdoor you. They'll take your blood right out of your body. They're not union. Good non-union people are not good craftsmen,
right.
Not good tradesmen. So there's a fine line, and some of it is a problem with the foreigners. You remember when we used to get out Chinatown and try to catch a job, and they did them at night?
Yeah.
And it just, that difference between, what are you doing? Leave me alone. Get off. Daughters. The difference between union and non-union is nothing more than a wage rate that we establish. And the reason the non-union guys make a nice wage is because of the union guys.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If they're fair competition, we don't care.
It's interesting. Joe, I'll get to you 1 minute. I knew how, when I had a conversation with my dad one time, and he said, He knew somebody was working double-breasted, which is, you know, for the listeners, in the counties, they're non-union, in the city, they're not. He couldn't figure out why, because he thought that the work ethic with our union members, the safety, okay, the qualified apprenticeships, and would make up, you know, and obviously dollars and cents. You know, it's cheaper for, you know, for non-union, but the quality, you can get a man at this union hall, or a woman, and, you know, if they're sick for work the next day, same quality. You're in a non-union company, and the old man, he used to say, listen, I don't have a problem. I don't have problems with people who are working non-union and they can't get in a union. He had a problem with the contractors who were undercutting them. Like, they would undercut the union contractors and keep the difference and not give it to their members. So, but, you know, the benefit of working union and having, you know, a career, the benefits, the retirement, and all those things that were something you lived with every day had to be one of your priorities, correct?
Well, one of the things that you just reminded me of is a Bob Brady. I shouldn't even blow smoke up his ass, but I will. But Bob Brady and people like him helped us get prevailing wage, helped us get where there's not right to work, keep them right to work out. And prevailing wage is a set wage. The plumber makes $20 an hour. The non-union plumber makes $20 an hour. But the non-union plumber, this plumber, the union guy works 5 days a week. The non-union guy works Saturday and Sunday for nothing to justify the prevailing wage.
Right.
And that money goes right into the old contractor's pocket. I mean, yeah. It's a shame, but it's greed. And there is a lot of greed. There's greed everywhere.
Yeah.
But you got to manage that. And that's what it takes. The union, it takes labor, it takes the political arena, it takes society itself to help you manage that. Otherwise, you're going to be a loser. And we do lose. We lose a lot. And sometimes we win.
Congressman, if you would.
There's a big difference between union and non-union, and the word that strikes me is quality.
Right.
Quality, integrity, and also backing up your work. Backing up your work, like I said, you could do a job, a union job, and it could be a year later, and something else could be going wrong. And because of the integrity that the unions have, whatever union it may be, they'll come back and fix it. They'll come back and adjust it. No charge. We made the mistake. We'll fix it. You can't find a non-union guy. He's gone already. He's gone someplace else. And not only that, the quality of work isn't there. You can't just become a journeyman in the plumbers. You got to earn that. You got to take a test. You got to prove that you're doing good. Apprentices. I couldn't pass the apprentice test today. I mean, they're quality young men and women, and you're giving them a career. I mean, a major career, whether it be in the plumbing, whether it be the carpenters, electricians, and not only are you giving them a career, but you're teaching them a trade, and they're learning their trade, and they're doing quality work, and they feel good about it. They feel like they have to do quality work because that's what they're instilled with.
It's interesting because we talk about politics, right? And we talk about, you know, the quality work. And that basis comes in apprentice school, right? What I say about all of our tradesmen and women, I bet you in this room right now with all these people, you roll up about 90% of the sleeves and they got their union tattooed on their arm. It's a part of who they are going through that apprenticeship.
They're proud of it, yeah.
But also learning what unionism is about, what politics is about, understanding that we didn't get here and they weren't born on third base. Great labor leaders like Ed Keenan sat at that table and worked very hard so that we have a place at the political table. How important is that, Congressman?
It's so important because it's integrity. You know, the Eddie Keenan. Eddie Keenan is somebody that I've known a very long time, and I've known a lot of labor leaders. And I don't care if I get in trouble saying this. They all have integrity, but none as high as Eddie. Eddie, his word was his bond, and he stood up for that, and he wouldn't let anybody, you know, go against that. And anybody like a contractor, somebody doing work, if the work wasn't done right, he made sure it got done right. And that's his reputation. you know, that's his reputation, and that's what we need to. We may be not getting that in the new labor leaders, the young labor leaders today. You know,
absolutely.
And we got to instill that integrity into them, that they got to be proud of what they do and stand behind what they do. Non-union contractors, you can't find them; they're going somewhere.
Yeah,
you know.
Joe Krause.
It's our Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction for Ed Keenan, opening segment of our live broadcast. A lot more to go, Congressman Bob Brady. Great to sit here and
good
just
to see you.
And great to sit and just listen to your perspective. And I hope the listening audience has an opportunity to use theater of the mind and process some of what you talked about tonight. Ed Keenan, what an incredible man.
Yep, and I'm really happy you have me here to like to show my appreciation and my love for him, just like everybody else in this room shows their appreciation and love for him. Just look at this room.
Absolutely.
Incredible room, incredible night, an incredible man.
Thank
back
you.
In a moment.
Thank you.
This is a message from the Herman Goldner Company, celebrating the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. The Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those labor leaders past and present who have made an indelible mark on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. Herman Goldner Company is proud to honor the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. An honor well deserved.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, business manager.
Big Dog Plumbing is celebrating the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. The Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those labor leaders, both past and present, who have made an indelible mark on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. Big Dog Plumbing is proud to join the celebration of the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame.
Aetna has a network of over 1.6 million care providers. But what does that really mean for you? Well, ever heard of an otolaryngologist? They specialize in head and neck problems, and we've got 7,877 of them ready to straighten you out. From allergists to urologists, we treat healthcare as a team sport. So when your health moment arrives, you can trust our network of doctors have your back. Because healthier happens together. For all your healthcare moments, choose Aetna. Learn more at aetna.com/moments.
Steam Fitters Local 449 and Local 602 C&P Fund, along with Plumbers Local 392 and Plumbers Local 27, is proud to honor the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, an honor well-deserved. Congrats to Ed Keenan as he enters the Hall of Fame from your union brothers and sisters.
First chartered in 1903, Steam Fitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steam Fitters Local 420. Jim Snell, business manager.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of Ed Keenan, proudly sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Steam Fitters Local 420, Aetna, and the Mechanical and Service Contractors Association. And back here on our very, very special broadcast, Jay Dock, it's our Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of Ed Keenan. And the first chance or the first opportunity that I ever had a chance to say hello to Ed Keenan was about 35 minutes ago. And that short conversation will resonate and stay with me. I can't imagine what it must be like to have been influenced by Ed Keenan throughout his entire career.
Absolutely. And we're going to bring into the program a longtime AFL-CIO president, Pat Iding, who will really get into that. Pat, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're fantastic. And I know this is a special night, and Ed Keenan is somebody that you have known for many years. If you would tell our listeners a little bit about your relationship to Ed and how long you've known Ed.
Well, it's been a rough relationship, to say the least. And I mean that both physically and mentally.
I saw him bear hug you there when you got here.
So, the truth be known, when I first met Ed, he was Tom McNulty's bodyguard, is what he was, even though he wouldn't admit that. And, in fact, I think he chased me around a banquet room because I mentioned that to him. But, so, we do go back a couple years, and... listen, this is not only a pleasure, it's an honor. We worked together for a long time through some crazy things. Ed is, he's a big, tough guy with a heart as big as his head. And if you see Ed in person, he's got a big head. So, it's been a great time working with him. I'm just so thrilled to see him. I haven't seen him for a while. But we did some great things together, I think. Probably did some dumb things together, but we accomplished some things. We put a lot of people to work.
Ed talked about, back in the 60s coming up and how things were different. And we talked about, the labor leadership in Ed's heyday when he was a young business manager and you guys were all officials. Talk about the comparison in the times. And let's not forget... the two of you, along with a number of the other labor leaders, are what has paved the way for, the conditions we have, the seat at the table we have today. Talk about the comparisons.
Well, the truth of the day, even though we go back a long way, we were a changeover of what the labor movement was. Really actually started a time to think before we did things. And Marty Mataloni, Eddie...
Sam Staten Sr.
Eddie Coryell, Sam Staten Jr. But we all got elected around the same time. So we were all freshmen in the world of labor. And we came through, if you'll recall, there was a load of notoriety about Philadelphia. The roofers had some situations, things were going on. And, along came a guy named Pat Gillespie, who took us all to another way of thinking and talking. And you had leaders like Eddie and Tom Kelly and Mataloni and hopefully myself and Eddie Coryell. We start thinking about a better way. I mean, we actually got on boards in the city. I mean, Pat Gillespie, to his credit, took us into an area that there before all we did was fight and argue and make comments to. And I think we start doing a better job for our members because of it. And Eddie, head of the plumbers, a very recognized organization in Philadelphia, going back in history. But more importantly to me, he became the president for many, many years of the Philadelphia Building Trades. And, as tough as he is and as tough as he can be, he was a balance. When we would do things collectively, there were a lot of different personalities, and they are today. But Ed, even though contrary to the way he may look, he had always a common part to say, well, let's talk about what we can do with that. Or if the building trades were running into trouble, he'd call me up and say, we got to get together and see what we can do about it. So he had this about him, but forever and a day out there fighting for his members and for all workers, especially in the building construction trades. So, we go back a long way and proud of every minute of it, even the bad stuff.
Ed, you want to jump in there, comment on that?
Yeah, what Pat's talking about is when we actually all started coming together, and we had Ralphie Williams, we had Tom McGran, and we had Ralphie Williams, and then we had Pat. And Pat was different. And Pat Iding and I grabbed him close. We were his closest friends, closest allies. We'd listen to his ideas. And he was a little different from the average construction guy. He thought he was more educated. He loved to use big words. And I said, you're saying words none of us know what the hell you're talking about, these meetings out here. And I was president for almost 20 years. And we used to go back and forth in the meetings. We'd have a meeting here or somewhere else or Pat's place. And he'd say, you didn't show up. I said, I told you I wasn't going to be there. Well, he do his act. But it was nonsense because you had to be there. You had to be there. You had to play. If we were having a beef with the roofers or a beef with the laborers, there's ways to fix that. And every once in a while, somebody tried to muscle you, and you wouldn't let them muscle you. I mean, your father, him, me. It's crazy. You don't. And it kind of worked its way back to where we could sit down like gentlemen. Didn't matter whether you were a roofer or a plumber or a laborer or whatever, and work things out for the good of the job and the good of the men. And it had to be fair. It wasn't always fair, and there were fistfights, and there were. But fistfights, to me, I always believed in a good fistfight. If you can't verbally sit
down
and work
something out, that's pretty obvious. Take a look at you.
Go have a battle. Get it over with.
What's interesting about
this nonsense of letting it linger and feel bad about a trade, the whole trade.
It's interesting you say that because, Pat, one of the things that you've done so incredibly well is understand the needs of each individual union and the place of the president or the business manager. Let's talk about potential. Like, in other words, jurisdictional disputes happen, and we know that, and sometimes they cause hard feelings. But as a unit, the leadership, okay, and leadership like Pat and yourself, Ed, we're able to bring and look at the big picture, okay? Let's not lay everything on the vine, you know, right here, because we have there's a bigger picture. Talk about that and the importance of it.
I think that, you know, Eddie described what happens on the overall, and there are issues, and certainly, you know, one of the things in the building and construction trades has always been jurisdiction. Who's doing what and who's doing this? There's always been that little override. But at the end of the day, when you get done your internal fight or whatever you call it, and maybe called each other a lot of names, when you came together to do something in the community or in the labor community, you came together. And that's what I was able to be able to feel and do as I was working with everybody together through those years. And remember, you know, when you read the books, you're not going to read about how we went down the street and helped an old lady get across the street or how we helped somebody who had a fire fix their house. Nobody's going to read that. They're going to read about how we had a picket line and a rat and those kinds of things. But in those inner sanctums, when we're sitting down together negotiating, and we did that through Eddie's term and especially with the mechanical aid, we negotiated together for the interest of all the members and knew that we had to make sure our employers were able to go do the work that we wanted to do. So there's a balance there that people don't ever see. And I got to tell you, Eddie, not blowing smoke, but, you know, different personalities, when we would sit down together, oftentimes the biggest guy would say, we've got to get this together. We got to pull this together, that kind of stuff. So the personalities that we lived through, and, you know, and they were personalities, so they were different personalities. But it was it came about and left the working people in our city and outside the city in a better place, I think, through that group. And Eddie was a big part of that leadership.
You have said many times, and Ed, you alluded to this in the first set with the congressman. Pat, you've talked about, you know, the standards of labor, you know, benefiting those without a collective bargaining agreement. Okay, and Ed, you had said the same thing. The important thing, you know, in those travels, and I've said it many times, I've quoted you, talking about how our great labor leadership, a rising tide rises all boats, okay? Talk about that and what people don't understand about labor. Because, and the reason I say that is because there's no way anybody who stereotypes us are listening or watching our leadership who really care about everybody.
Well, listen, it's almost a cult when we care about people, because we don't just care about our members. We care about all the members. We care about all workers. And in everything that we go out to do, many times it's for folks, more times than not, folks that don't have the benefit of a collective bargaining agreement. But we also know that if we can bring them up and we can all be up together, we can take these swells, as Pat Gillespie would call them, and put them back a little bit and let our people get some of the bread, the loaf of bread. So, yeah, it's a broader thinking in your leadership than just one local and, you know, yourself. You can't be yourself. If you're yourself, you know, as I said many times, you can't just like this business if you're the leader. You got to love it. Because if you don't, then you don't belong there. you got, you know, you're not going to, how many times a penny wait for him to come home because he wound up with a bunch of guys? Not because, not even necessarily because he liked them. It was some sort of business. And even when it was, didn't appear to be business. For example, in this building right here, you'd have a great Christmas party. It'd be all the building trades. Everybody would come to this thing, and it would be a great time. And then the next day you go back to work and make sure your members have a job to go to. And make sure it's a safe job. You know, Eddie can't have his members having dirt fall him in a hole. He's got to make sure that job's left. So these are the kind of things that are leaders. It's not just having your picture in a paper or that kind of stuff. It's making sure it's better for everybody.
And you talk about your home local, Ed, okay? And I've seen it many times. You know, they study labor leadership, okay, in universities. Sometimes you have to break bad news. Sometimes we're not getting a raise, okay? Talk about those qualities that are so important for a labor leader to have so that when the times are rough, they trust that you care about them and their families and it's not about you.
Well, Pat always wanted more.
I do. More is better.
He always wanted to grab the extra penny or something because he wanted to look good for his members. Look what I got. But in reality, when you sit down as a group, like Pat mentioned, the mechanical trades, and negotiate as mechanical trades, we did that for a couple of reasons. First of all, for the members. Second of all, for the contractors, if they were comfortable with it, and they were. And third of all, the general builders, the money people, the billionaires, they would see that we were organized, we had our numbers together, they were fair, and there was years that we took nothing, absolutely. There was years we had $2 coming, and we sat back and said, everybody's out of work, we got to be nuts to take $2 more, even though we can use it for the health and welfare, the pension, it's going. And we would actually leave the money on the table. I don't know how many years we did it, but I know we did it a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, and that's leadership. And the members, like this guy right here, France, he'd stand up at a meeting and say, what are you doing, Keenan? We got $2. Now we got nothing. And I'd explain it. And that's, again,
sure.
It's leadership is not just you. It's the people around you. It's the business agents, the officers, and the members. And you can't do these things if you don't have them.
You're listening to the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction ceremony. For a full broadcast of the event for Ed Keenan, download the podcast at Apple or Spotify.
O'Donohue and O'Donohue is joining the celebration of the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. The Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those labor leaders, past and present, who have made an impact on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. O'Donohue and O'Donohue is proud to honor the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. An honor well deserved.
Elevator Constructors Local 5 salutes Ed Keenan on his induction into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. Congrats, Ed, to a gentleman who deserves this highest honor. From your friends at Local 5.
Hi, this is Mark Lynch, Business Manager, IBEW, Local 98. Our members are the best educated, best trained electricians and technicians in the construction industry. Our electrical contractor partners do the job right, the first time, every time, safely, on time, and on budget. Find out why we're the best in the business. Visit us at www.ibew98.org.
This is a message from Mechanical Service Contractors celebrating the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. The Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those labor leaders past and present who have made an indelible mark on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. The Mechanical Service Contractors is proud to honor the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. An honor well deserved.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, Business Manager. God bless America.
United Association Local 524 and United Association of Plumbers and Pipefitters is proud to honor the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, an honor well-deserved. Congrats to Ed Keenan as he enters the Hall of Fame from all of us. The law firm of Laffey, Boosie, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan, one of Philadelphia's premier injury law firms who represent injured union workers and their families, is proud to salute the career, the legacy, and the induction of legendary Plumbers Local 690 business manager Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. Whereas the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those leaders of labor, past and present, who have made an indelible mark on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. Congratulations to Ed Keenan on an honor well-deserved from your friends at Laffey, Boosie, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of Ed Keenan, proudly sponsored by O'Donoghue and O'Donoghue LLP, Herman Goldner Co. Incorporated, and Retiree First. And back here on this very special night, J-Doc, it's our Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction for Ed Keenan. I don't believe, J-Doc, that the length of this broadcast
ain't the first time
is enough time to cover the story.
It could take 3-4 hours.
No doubt about that.
And so I'm excited to bring into the program Jeff Laffey, the law firm of Laffey Bootsy, DeAndrea Reich, and Ryan are the title sponsors here, along with Local 690. And Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
So you've known this guy quite some time. Of course, Jen Keel is Ed's, Big Ed's daughter. She's been working together with you for years. Tell me how you know Ed.
I chased him out of my house. That's how he knows me.
Yeah, well, I was chasing Jen, and that's why he chased me out of his house.
But you know, you're a big part of, you know, kind of what's going on here. You have an affinity, obviously, for the workers and representing them when there's an injury. Talk about what labor and the plumbers union, and of course, Big Ed means to you.
Oh, sure. Well, Jennifer, Ed's daughter, we work together. We've been working together for the last 13 years. She's the office manager at the firm. And I've known Jen since high school. And I always, from day one, recognized that we sort of were cut from the same loaf of bread, so to speak. We both grew up on the union dime. We both shared the same core values. We both recognized the union values in particular.
Sure.
And, you know, I had a tremendous amount of respect for Mr. Keenan. I know what it takes to be a leader, or at least try to be a leader, and his longevity as a leader was very admirable to me. And, you know, I looked up to him, but also stayed within 6 feet of him at all times.
Unless you want to bruise us all over your arms. We all got him, though.
That's correct.
There's no shame in it.
That's correct. But, you know, it was... What I love about organized labor, and in particular the leaders of organized labor, is that they talk the talk, but they walk the walk. And that's most important thing to me.
You know, Ed, we have Jeff on the program. One of the things that was really important to you was health and safety. Okay, Jeff represents injured workers and those who can't represent themselves through the contingency fee, which means they don't have to pay to walk into his office. But one of your priorities every day has been along those lines, is to make sure that every person that goes in and is working for their family in the morning comes home at night. Talk about that and that synergy.
Well, this is this relates back to 1964. I was on a job, and an iron worker named Cowboy fell 7 stories into wet concrete.
Yeah.
They took him to the hospital, and he came back to work.
Wow.
And when I saw that, I went, I was only a punk kid.
Right.
But as I went into the service and got out and worked, I saw so many of the members get hurt, and they didn't get anything. There's nowhere to go. The union had a sick fund of maybe $20.
Yeah.
But at least it helped, but that's all that the union could afford. And all of a sudden, we started talking to some decent attorneys about, you know, workman's comp, lawsuits, whatever. And today, compared to then, is night and day. And the leaders are confident, the members are confident, and they have excellent law firms that'll not screw them.
Well, talk about
not screw them at all.
And talk about that, Jeff, because some people try to navigate things themselves. And labor leaders, great labor leaders, you know, have a go-to person who, by the way, you know, they trust. But in some cases, you really got, you know, gaining the trust of labor is you know, not always the easiest thing. But talk about what that means when you get somebody sent to you and you know that they've been injured on the job. And you also are representing that labor leader.
Exactly. The recommendation from labor leaders, because understand, this is what happens. Typical worker gets hurt. They look to their business agent. They look to their business manager. And they say, what happens next? And over the years, as Mr. Keenan correctly noted, the law has evolved, and these leaders are in a position to make recommendations. And if they recommend me and my firm, that recommendation is taken as seriously as cancer. And we work tirelessly to get their rights for them. What I do is what they call third-party litigation. Everyone kind of knows what workers' compensation is. But the third-party stuff is holding third parties responsible for accidents.
Which also, what happens.
Sure. Well, I think the law has evolved, and everyone knows now that all parties on a construction site bear responsibility for safety.
Thanks, Andrew.
And general contractors in particular, manufacturers of products, other subcontractors. They all have a duty to work safely. They all have a duty to follow the rules. They all have a duty to comply with OSHA regulations. And when they don't, accidents happen. And it's my role to hold them accountable. And been doing that for the last 27 years. I blinked and 27 years went by. It's absolutely incredible. But, you know, I was very fortunate. I think I mentioned that my father was a union carpenter for Annie Laffey. And I took all of that. I had clients call me up and say, you don't have to sell yourself if you're Franny's kid.
Sure.
I trust you. I know you're going to do right by me. I know you're going to work your butt off for me. And so I had a head start from day one of my career.
And that trust is evident here today. We want to thank you, obviously, for being our title sponsor and helping to make this happen, man. It's an incredible event.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I want to take this opportunity to thank and congratulate Mr. Ed Keenan for an absolutely wonderful career,
absolutely.
A leader among men.
Absolutely.
And thank you again. Appreciate it, Mr. Keenan.
Ed, if you would, we got a minute left. Closing words, if you would.
His dad was, and the carpenters and the plumbers constantly had jurisdictional squads for 30 years, but we worked them out nine times out of ten. And his dad, I worked with him. The last time I worked with him was right when I retired. Brady was going to run for mayor. And me and his dad wind up being the organizers for all of it. And me and his father just looking, how do we get ourselves into this? We're all right dealing with labor, but dealing with the politicians, that gets a little touchy once in a while, Joe.
But it's part of our lifeline. Ed, listen, we want to, first of all, Jeff, thank you so
my
much.
My pleasure.
Awesome.
My pleasure.
Shout out to Jen Keel. Also, Wayne Miller was here. He had a union meeting tonight, so we wanted to say congratulations.
Jeff, Doc, let me ask Ed before we say goodbye real quick. What do you make of it all, Ed? When you sit in the chair and you look at the room and you listen to the conversation and you exchange pleasantries with people perhaps that you haven't seen in a while, and they're all here, what do you make of it?
Love. That's the word I use, love. And I mean that.
And I'll tell you why.
I think it's a beautiful word. I think I love my brothers. I love Jeff Laffey, and I respect him. I respect the devil until he shows me I shouldn't respect him. But my word in life is respect and love. And that's what I look at here. I look at a lot of love. I'm sure some of you, well, a couple of them back there thought they were coming to my funeral. The Worm. And Crosley and the gang. But I look around and I just see a lot of good people that makes you feel good that you were around them.
Well, I think
they make you. You don't make them. They make you.
You know how happy everybody was tonight to find out that you were. First of all, I can't wait to get home and get to sleep. I didn't sleep an hour last night as soon as Jen told me. But we want to congratulate. We want to thank your son, George Pegram, for making it happen. There's your legacy right there. You know, and
I've been hollering at him since it started. You know that, don't you? I accused him. Thanks, George. Love you, man.
Of course, we want to thank Jen.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll get even.
By the way, Jen and Jeff were the first two individuals and George that I called when we did the vote, and I couldn't be.
How about Staten?
Well, they all know. They're all ecstatic. So, oh yeah, goes Butch Bennett in the house and Joe McMonagle.
Big Joe.
Listen, on behalf of everybody here, and of course Pat Iding and the entire committee, congratulations, Ed. Well deserved.
Thank you very much. Woo-hoo. It's an honor and respect, and I appreciate it. And I definitely believe in this radio channel. I believe that the unions need exposure. We talked about it. We don't do enough of it. And maybe the lawyers have some kind of genius plan to start promoting the organized labor, the good side. You know, not just the rat. I'll say one last thing. These guys, the agents and all, I was anti-rat. I didn't like the rat because I didn't like to aggravate the public. The problem was the contract. And I was anti-rat, and they used to chew my ass out. But the other trades did it. But I still believe that. I don't believe you should block the road so that because this guy's a scab contractor. Why mess with the public? So in order to get the public support, you got to treat them honorably and fair. And don't give them reasons to badmouth organized labor. So it's a catch-22 in some ways.
Well, and that's what we always talk about on the show. And you know, we listen, sometimes it isn't, solidarity isn't pretty sometimes. And, you know, but I think that because of labor leaders like yourself and the condition that we're in, you know, we didn't lick it from the bricks, number one, and we weren't born on third base. So thank you so much for everything you've done, man. Your legacy will live in perpetuity, brother.
Now my wake, my funeral. Thanks, Joe.
Great stuff from our live broadcast right here of the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction for Ed Keenan.
Harry.
Coming up as we sign off the broadcast, we'll do the plaque presentation. That's coming up on behalf of J-Doc, on behalf of everybody who came out tonight, and, of course, on behalf of Ed Keenan. I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for listening to this Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction of Ed Keenan, sponsored by United Association Local 524, Steamfitters Local 449, Plumbers Local 27, Big Dog Plumbing and Heating, United Association of Pipe Fitting Industry, Plumbers Local 392, Steamfitters Local 602, C&P Fund, Robert Eberle from the Mariano Agency, and AOH 39. Also sponsored by the Philadelphia AFL-CIO, IBEW Local 98, and the Elevator Constructors Local 5. Congrats, Ed Keenan, on your Legends of Labor Hall of Fame induction.
Aetna has a network of over 1.6 million care providers. But what does that really mean for you? Well, ever heard of an otolaryngologist? They specialize in head and neck problems, and we've got 7,877 of them ready to straighten you out. From allergists to urologists, we treat healthcare as a team sport. So when your health moment arrives, you can trust our network of doctors have your back, because healthier happens together. For all your healthcare moments, choose Aetna. Learn more at aetna.com/moments.
Steam Fitters Local 449 and Local 602 C&P Fund, along with Plumbers Local 392 and Plumbers Local 27, is proud to honor the induction of Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, an honor well-deserved. Congrats to Ed Keenan as he enters the Hall of Fame from your union brothers and sisters.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
The law firm of Laffey, Boosey, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan, one of Philadelphia's premier injury law firms who represent injured union workers and their families, is proud to salute the career, the legacy, and the induction of legendary Plumbers Local 690 business manager Ed Keenan into the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. Whereas the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame has been established to honor and recognize those leaders of labor, past and present, who have made an indelible mark on their union, their community, and the labor movement. Ed Keenan is one of those great leaders. Congratulations to Ed Keenan on an honor well-deserved from your friends at Laffey, Boosey, DeAndrea, Reich, and Ryan.